Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter, established in 1987, and also pwtorch.com, the website, and the PW Torch app, free in the Apple app and Android app stores, and also mmatorch.com and the MMA Torch app, available in Apple and Android, in the app stores for free. Just do a search for MMA Torch. And download it to your phone. Tons of coverage of a big, big weekend. We just got past two epic main event outcomes that change the course of UFC headed towards some big shows. So check that out. There's also an MMA Torch podcast at MMATorchLivecast.com. Check that out if you're a UFC fan. Some good work. Todd Martin, a staff member at PW Torch VIP, also contributes to MMATorch.com, and join Jamie Pennick for a 1 hour UFC wrap-up. I did a 30-minute wrap-up with Todd Martin immediately after the event, or within a few minutes after the event ended on Saturday night, getting Todd Martin's viewpoints. Todd Martin, a columnist with the LA Times covering UFC and the world of MMA, and also a frequent contributor to top podcasts. His first long-form analysis of that epic show was exclusively for VIP members. I joined Todd on that. We'll talk about VIP later on in the show. If you're not familiar with it and aren't a member, we'll tell you how to become a member. It is Tuesday, March 8th, 2016. And on Tuesdays, that means we welcome Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net onto the podcast. And we usually talk about Raw. And I have a feeling we'll be talking about Raw and Roadblock and WrestleMania 32 and 33, the majority of today's show. But we have open phone lines, and you're welcome to call about other topics if you so choose. Our phone number, 646-721-9828. 646-721-9828. We are available all the time on demand at pwtorchlivecast.com. We redesigned the front page of that website and as of earlier this year. So if you subscribe to us on iTunes, but there's times when you just want to stream the show from a mobile-friendly website on your phone or on your laptop, or you want to, in an organized fashion, try to find an old show or an old interview, the best way to do it is through that site, pwtorchlivecast.com. That also, by the way, is where you can get information on subscribing on iTunes or other podcast apps, grabbing the RSS feed. All right, well, let's go ahead and bring Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net into the conversation. Did he just move himself to the top of the queue, or did I just lose him? Oh, there he is. All right, cool. Oh, now he did. Man, I feel like I'm playing the Gopher video game here. Whack-a-mole, I guess I should say, not Gopher. There we go. Jason, I was about to click on you to bring you in, and then you pushed the button and moved to the very top. So welcome to the show.
Yeah, my bad. I forgot to start. I forgot to do it to start, but good to be here. Thank you.
I'm glad you're there. I thought you just went poof, and then I realized, oh, no, he just moved to the top of the queue. By the way, that's a good reminder for callers. If you call the show and you want to participate, push 1 on your touchtone phone. You can call the show and not participate and eavesdrop until you feel that you're ready to contribute. But if you want to get in line and have a priority opportunity to be on the show, you want to push 1 on your touchtone phone to go from standby into the actual caller queue. Jason, I like last night's Raw. I got some mixed results in our respective polls at pwtorch.com and prowrestling.net. Where are you on this?
Kind of in the middle. I didn't think it was a very good show, but it's okay. It held my interest for the most part. The third hour is a drag as always, but it doesn't feel like WrestleMania season, and I don't know if people are kind of giving them a pass right now because, well, it's Roadblock week.
It's Roadblock season.
We're under a month now. We have 3 Raws left until WrestleMania. I'm not feeling it yet.
Well, you know, I'll say in their defense, I don't know if defense is a word, but there's times in recent years, maybe every year, where the Road to WrestleMania, the memories of it are better than the actual version of it, where sometimes that hype just seemed to drag on forever after Elimination Chamber or Fastlane, and they kind of ran out of material. At least with Roadblock, it's not so much a roadblock as a bit of a diversion, and then you end up with three really newsworthy shows where maybe they save a lot of the big time crescendo hype for those final three Raws rather than spreading them out over 5-6 weeks. So basically, my optimistic view is this means that the last few episodes leading into Mania will be better than they would have otherwise.
I hope so. Yeah, they're not gonna most of these things aren't gonna overstay their welcome with Roman Reigns disappearing. I mean, that's part of it. You're not even hyping the WrestleMania main event. Most years, I would say that's a bad thing, but this year it might actually be a weird blessing in disguise. But they didn't really sell me on Roadblock either. I think Ambrose did a nice job on SmackDown of kind of explaining that the way things could be shook up. And last night on Raw, it just kind of, I don't sense chemistry with him and Triple H, at least not nearly as much as I thought there would be. And I'm kind of looking forward to their match, but they just really haven't made me feel like, hey, there's a chance that, you really need to see the show, basically, because everything could change for WrestleMania. I'm not feeling that at all. Even if they shake things up and surprise me, they failed to make me feel like that could happen on Saturday.
Yeah, I thought they did a better job. For me, I thought they did a good job making it seem like things could get shaken up. In the commentary, they very specifically talked about, well, if Dean wins, is it a triple threat? Or,
who listens to them?
I'm sorry?
Who listens to those fools?
Well, I mean, it's a majority of the narrative of the show is what the announcers say, but I guess if people are tuning them out. So in other words, you're saying Dean Ambrose or Triple H should have more specifically addressed it?
Yeah, it was certainly more effective with me. And I'm doing a live, I'm semi-joking about the broadcast game. I do think a lot of people zone them out, but when it's them delivering the pitch, I'm less likely to hear because I'm doing a report and all that at the same time. But I do think it's better when it comes from the talent. It was certainly more effective when Ambrose sat down in a chair and laid out the scenarios than it was to have the three unlikable broadcast team members kind of going over the scenarios. Triple H hasn't even talked about it. He doesn't even seem like he's the least bit threatened by Dean Ambrose heading into this. He's just playing it way too cool.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go to some phone calls after we go to our first break here. When we come back from a word from our sponsors, we're going to start taking phone calls. And as usual on Tuesdays, the phone banks are full, and we'll get to a lot of your calls today. So on the other side of the break, we'll start in on calls. If you're like me, you've got a list of favorite websites and a list of favorite podcasts that you visit either every day or throughout the week, but there's probably not a lot of crossover between the two. However, with PW Torch Livecast, that's different. If you're a listener of this show, you should also be visiting our main website, pwtorch.com, loaded with updates covering news in more depth than you'll find anywhere else. Editorials you won't find anywhere else, live TV coverage and pay-per-view coverage that's unmatched, and so much more on a newly redesigned, optimized, lightning-fast website. That's pwtorch.com. Check it out every day and bookmark it. No matter what device you're using, whether it's a mobile phone, a tablet, a laptop, or a desktop, there's a version that fits your screen and customized for your device. Check it out, pwtorch.com, one of the top sources of pro wrestling insider news since 1987 and online as a website since 1999. Don't miss out. Don't just listen to the live cast. In between live cast listens or while you're listening to the live cast, check out the latest headlines and exclusive articles at pwtorch.com. Now a note from a sponsor of the program, Loot Crate. They are a new sponsor this year, and we are getting good feedback on this program regarding Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. For less than $20 a month, you get 6 to 8 items sent to you in a box, including licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items, and more. You have until the 19th of each month at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, to get in on that month's theme. And then once that day passes, you got to wait till next month. There's no more chance to get that month's theme. So you can't wait till you find out what's in the box to order it. In other words, part of the gimmick is you get surprised when you open the box up. And the place to go is lootcrate.com, and you enter PWTorch as a coupon code to save $3 on a new subscription. Now, we do know that this month's theme is about battles between, similar to Batman versus Superman. Here's their copy on this. Grab the popcorn, place your bets, and celebrate not only the theatrical throwdown of Batman versus Superman, but also more great rivalries and brutal battles from throughout pop culture history. March's Versus theme delivers a heck of a wombo combo with four exclusive items showcasing Batman vs. Superman, Alien vs. Predator, Daredevil vs. Punisher, and more. They guarantee $40, $45 plus in retail value, sometimes a lot more. They ship to 27 countries. They have more info on that on their site. Loot Crate is like a friend who knows what you love and surprises you with an awesome present every month. In this case, though, you're buying the present for yourself, but it's still cool. It's more than a subscription service. It's an entire community of fans that share their experience and interact with each other around the box unboxing of each month's crate. Again, every month, a different theme. And you can get details on it at lootcrate.com. Just enter PWTorch to save $3 on your first order. All right, we're back live and ready to take phone calls talking about last night's edition of Monday Night Raw. Roadblock coming up on Saturday, WrestleMania 32. And also, Jason, no WrestleMania 33 in Minneapolis near our home base. How do you feel about losing out on WrestleMania?
Mixed feelings. I mean, it would be cool if it came here, but at the same time, I don't have 20 people like lobbying to sleep on my couch for a week, and so I'm okay with that. Let them go to Brian Fritz's house.
Well put, well put. And they also announced today a physical Hall of Fame structure. Both PWTorch.com and Jason's site, ProWrestling.net, have tons of details on this, so if you want to catch up on what you missed at the press conference today, check out those sites. I know James Caldwell at PWTorch.com put up a blog of pictures and video clips that were posted by various reporters and participants in the WrestleMania 33 press conference earlier today. You can check that out at pwtorch.com and look at some pictures and play some video clips. Let's go ahead and jump to the phone banks, and we'll begin today with area 561 then. 561, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey guys, this is Donnie calling from the home of WrestleMania 33, Orlando, Florida.
All right, cool. How do you feel about it?
I'm really excited. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Jump on those tickets as soon as they become available. But I just wanted to talk a little about Raw last night. I am considerably higher on it than Jason was. Unfortunately, we are in a bit of a disagreement there. But leading to two things in particular, I thought the show was great. The Wyatt tees I didn't even really care about too much. I kind of lost interest in them completely, unfortunately. But I thought Ambrose, I thought he looked great. I thought that looked more convincing as a main eventer than he has previously. And also, I thought the New Day versus Y2 AJ match was fantastic, one of the best matches I've seen in a couple months, especially on WWE TV. And I thought they did a great job of making Big E look like really strong. And I was wondering if you thought that there's any possible way that we could get a Big E, main event push or big singles push while remaining a member of the New Day.
Jason, go ahead and take that if you want.
He certainly has a good moveset. You know, the power moves are clicking. They seem to be spotlighting those. They may have that in mind. I just haven't seen anything from a personality standpoint yet. Now, he's obviously been doing New Day shtick, but I don't know that I don't see that as main event. I think he would have to kind of shake things up, and what we've seen from him in the past doesn't really scream main event. I think, you know, there's a reason he kind of found his niche with New Day. If he can find the right tone, if he can find just a different persona to play, I kind of fear, Wade, like what you see with Big E is kind of what you get. You know, it's he's having fun with this, and that's just his personality.
I think we're a ways off from Big E being ready to be a singles guy. And, you know, I know that you're not suggesting that they break up New Day. You're suggesting, you know, keep Big E in New Day, but give him a singles push and maybe have Xavier and Kofi then be the tag team. But yeah, I think Big E is not portraying himself as a major league as a top tier main event singles guy right now. He's portraying himself as a goofball sidekick. I would say he's more of a sidekick outside the ring to Xavier and Kofi than any other combination. I see Big E as more of the sidekick than the main guy in the ring. I don't know that I feel he's ready for main event matches either. I think keep New Day the way they are, and if anybody goes, I guess if anybody were to go single, it would be Kofi right now. But even so, I just say keep him as a tag team.
Yeah, I'm there. And I would say, you know, hey, it's possible they're spotlighting him in the ring, giving him the win last night, making those power moves really stand out because they need TV main eventers, but there's a big difference. You know, I mean, they can't have Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose face League of Nations every week,
yeah.
And so maybe they slide him into that role, but a true main event position, headlining a pay-per-view, I don't see it.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not saying it won't happen, but I don't think we're far enough along on Big E, who went from a pretty underwhelming singles push to now getting to just be himself. You know, I mean, he just gets to be kind of goofy and outlandish and quirky. And I think it's going to take a while for him to, if he's going to be a singles guy, to establish that. Anything else for us?
The only other thing was I feel like it's almost impossible to deny Dean Ambrose's just, you know, crazy popularity. And I was wondering if you think that there is any possibility of maybe not him winning at Roadblock, but just somehow getting his way into the main event, as much as I'm not sure I'd like to see a triple threat main event, just him sort of shoehorning his way in there, just because I really think it's hard to, like I said, deny, you know, how popular he is.
Yeah.
But that's all. Thank you so much, guys. Have a great day.
Excellent. Thanks. Good way to start off the show. Good call. Jason, the reaction Dean Ambrose is getting is so much better than Roman Reigns, relatively speaking. I understand that. I like that option better, but I'm not sure that Dean is so over that they're crazy to not change their plans from Roman. I think they're crazy to push Roman as a babyface. Once that's established,
right.
I don't think that Dean is so over. This is not Stone Cold Steve Austin, the Second Coming. So I guess I can't make the case that Dean is so over. It's a surefire bet. You're gonna have this boom period with him on top. And I think it has to be that for Vince to change his plans. Now, we could be surprised, but I think they did a nice job last night, especially on commentary in the main event, finally talking about what this match could mean to the WrestleMania scenario and shaking things up. But I do not see it happening. My money is on Roman Hunter one-on-one. What do you have the odds that we don't see Roman Hunter one-on-one, assuming everybody stays healthy?
Like 5%.
Yeah.
I mean, I really think it's set. I think that's the match they're going with. And, you know, we talked about it last week with Ambrose. The people, he's popular. I think he's a good number two in popularity. You know, if he may be number one just by default, but if they had that top guy, Ambrose would be a really nice number two. That feels like his level of popularity. It's just everyone's comparing him to Roman Reigns. If the fans really wanted this, if they were really that behind Dean Ambrose, they would be forcing this to happen, and that's not happening.
And the rating for last night's show came in at a 2.59. It's down just slightly from 2.63, and kind of in line with where they've been since the beginning of February. That said, they're not great pre-WrestleMania numbers, and I don't know that. I mean, I think, Jason, there'll be a crescendo in the couple, you know, in the 2 weeks before Mania, but I don't know that they'll hit 3.0. I know that, you know, a couple months ago we were speculating, will they dip below? Is it more likely they dip below 2.0 or rise above 3.0? And it was a tough call. I think it was back in December, you know, when the ratings were really low. Now I think the odds are better they go above 3.0 than they dip below 2.0 in WrestleMania season. I mean, no doubt about that. But I think with the numbers where they are right now, we're not expecting that. And I bring up the numbers right now because the advertised main event involved Dean Ambrose, and the third hour rating was way down from the previous two. Now that's been the pattern lately, but my point is, if Dean was so over, not just relative to Roman, but so over that you change plans to accommodate, then that third hour number is stronger. And instead, they did a 3.8, a 3.6, and a 3.3. I'm sorry, in terms of millions of viewers, I got to clarify that. So three about rounding to the nearest tenth, 3.8 million. 3.6 million for second hour, and then 3.3 million in that third hour. So I just don't see Dean doing what Steve Austin did, so I don't see them changing plans despite the crowd pop. Now, you know, I don't want to remove all hope because I think it makes Roadblock a little more fun if you think there could be a big shakeup, and I honestly can't rule it out, but I'm quite sure, Jason, like you are, that is not the plan. And it's not just a hunch that's not the plan. I mean, that's the feeling in WWE is Vince isn't going to budge on this, even though a lot of people want him to.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just WrestleMania. There's so much marketing that's going to be in place. I mean, I can't, you know, they're going to debate these things. They always will, up until, you know, on the day of the show even. I just don't see it changing, because then you're setting up a triple threat or a four-way match, and I think you're already, you're really spreading, you're cramming all of your top stars into two matches then, basically. And not that it wouldn't be fun for the undercard guys to get the spotlight, it's just not their style. And so I think they want to have those three big matches, and I think you'll see three big matches rather than two.
I did, by the way, on the Wade Keller Hotline for VIP members, I think it was over the weekend, it was certainly within the last week, I did a long segment, 8-12 minutes, something like that, talking about Dean Ambrose and who he is comparable to historically in WWE. Is he more of that second guy? Does he have a chance to be a top guy? Went really in detail on that. So if you're a VIP member, check it out. If you're not, we'll tell you how to become one later in the show. By the way, I totally agree with the caller on the match. I thought it was stellar. I think it was Chris Jericho as a co-producer of his match, shining. That he has such a high wrestling IQ, and AJ Styles has worked a non-WWE style with great success in TNA, ROH, Japan, the Indies, and I think he brought something different, and I think it brought out the best that we've seen ever in New Day, and I just thought it was, even though there was a commercial break in the match, and the match was total less than 12 minutes, it was just really, I mean, after the commercial break, it was just stellar. So I love the angle, too, and I thought they got exactly the crowd reaction you want to get for that. So huge thumbs up to that match and the post-match angle. Jason, I assume you're on board with that?
Yeah, absolutely. My number one hit today in the Raw hit list. It was. It almost made me wish we would see more of Y2AJ. I say almost because I'm not big on that tag team, and I'm happy, you know, that they didn't have any real plans for it. And I'm really looking forward to what I assume is Jericho and Styles at WrestleMania in a singles match, because now they have the right dynamic. Now it's not just two guys going out there to find out who's best. There's a revenge factor. You have a real heel. You have a real baby face. And I think so if anyone's grumbling about it's their fourth match, it doesn't feel special, it's a different fourth match than the first three.
I agree. The dynamic is different. One way you can show support for this program is if you're an Amazon shopper, when you are thinking of going to Amazon, don't go to Amazon.com. That's crazy. That's old school. Instead, go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. When you go to pwtorch.com/Amazon, we have a link. Click on it, and then you just go to the Amazon homepage, just like you were headed anyway. But they kept track of us sending you there, and we get a commission. And you pay the same price on the same great selection of merchandise, but we get a cut. So it's a way for you to spend no money, but throw a few quarters or a couple bucks in the tip jar for us when you go shopping at Amazon. And sometimes it's tens of dollars if you spend a lot of money or you're buying electronics or something like that. Every morning we hit refresh, and it's great to see that that ticker go up on those of you thinking of us. Instead of typing AMAZ, stop in your tracks, and type PWTORCH. pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thanks to those who are doing it, and we invite everybody else to do it. It really makes a difference for us here, and sincere thank you to those who already are. All right, back to the phone lines. Let's go to area code 661. You're up next. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
It's John Perilla from Delano, California.
Hey, John, thanks for calling. What have you got for Jason and me?
I got a few things. I was thinking about Roman Reigns. I don't know if when he comes back, I think Dean Ambrose is getting enough heel heat on Triple H, but I don't know if he's gonna have to turn on at WrestleMania if he's gonna have to turn on Triple H or Dean. I don't know which one who's gonna have enough, because it looks like Dean Ambrose is trying to take Roman's spot, and we know that Roman Reigns said that he wants the championship for his daughter and his family, make more money. So I'm kind of stuck here. I'm not really sure what's going to go on. What do you guys think about that?
You know, that's really interesting. I mean, from a soap opera standpoint, Jason, Roman Reigns goes away to get his nose repaired, and Dean Ambrose kind of goes, well, yeah, I didn't win that match, but I want my title match anyway. It's not at WrestleMania, but I want one sooner, and then maybe it'll be me against Roman, or maybe it'll be Hunter in a rematch, or maybe it'll be a three-way. But he's messing with Roman's earned moment. Roman's been screwed over big time, just like Daniel Bryan was, except with Daniel Bryan, the fans cared and were sad and mad. With Roman, a big part of the fan, I mean, obviously some fans are, you know, love Roman Reigns, but most pay-per-view ardent fans, TV, Raw ticket buying fans, SmackDown attending fans don't like him. You know, unless it's a family with some kids or some, you know, women who are at the show, the demographically speaking, Roman, not particularly over. That said, from a storyline standpoint, I can see Roman saying, Dean, I thought we were friends. You know, I go away to get my nose repaired, and you go and get a title shot and start messing with things. What's up with that? Do you think they're going to play that up, or do you think Roman's going to be... Because I think that could make Roman look bad, too, because it's like, hey, I mean, why wouldn't you want your friend to have success? Why wouldn't you want to be battling Dean Ambrose for the title, which is more of a win-win for them than have Hunter still with the title? So I think it could make Roman look kind of petty and jealous, and that would play into earning the fans' cheers. But that said, it is a storyline angle that they could take, Jason.
It certainly is. I don't know where they're going with it. It could go either way. I mean, it could be, he's starting to see through Ambrose, or one of those where he doesn't acknowledge it because Reigns really is one of the dumbest characters ever, some of the things that everyone else has picked up on that he's missed. And so they could continue with that theme and then just play connect the dots afterward, where if Ambrose turns on him, you kind of go back to some of these things that he did where he didn't have Roman's best interest in mind. So I don't know if they get to it right after Mania. Keep in mind Seth Rollins will be back. And Wade, do you think we see the Shield reunion either at or before WrestleMania 33?
Oh, good question. That's a whole year off. Yeah, I think we see it before, because I think that they're going to be too valuable to throw into one match at WrestleMania 33. I think they're going to have that. You're going to want those. They're just too valuable to all have together in one single match at Mania. And since they already did a Shield reunion without a lot of hype and hoopla, I think that diminished the value of it. I wouldn't rule it out, but yeah, I think we'll see a reunion, but I think it comes sooner.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, they may do it, but it kind of plays out the way it did this time, where you get the moment, but they're done right afterwards. Somebody turns, somebody does something where they're not really together coming out of the match. Yeah. I wonder, I mean, if this year, even if everyone were healthy, if we'd be getting a triple threat with the Shield members right now. And I wonder if that is something they will at least consider next year, more so than a reunion, but rather the triple threat with those three wrestlers going at it against one another for the first time.
Yeah, I could see that too. I'm not super hung up on a personal level and on a just observing the industry level. I just don't know that there's more money in that than trying to get really good feuds over with them solidly as either baby faces or heels facing others. I think there's money in it, but I don't think it's a big enough deal where you would sidetrack some other one-on-one programs where you already have all three established, either two faces and one heel or two heels and one face. At some point it should happen, but I think it should sort of happen organically when they all line up in the same role or with a common enemy. But I don't know that it's worth forcing the issue. I mean, the Shield's a big deal, but I like the individual parts right now more than the sum.
Fair enough.
Yep. All right, let's go to next caller, VIP member Scott. Scott, thanks for calling. What city are you calling from today?
I'm calling from Jamesburg, New Jersey, Wade.
There we go. That's right. Yep. So what have you got? What have you got for us?
Just want to start by complimenting Wade. The interview you did with Mick Foley and Jim Ross the week before on the live cast interview Thursday, incredible. They were terrific interviews, and it sounded like we were just flies on the wall listening into a great conversation.
Oh, thank you, Scott. Yeah. Mick Foley last Thursday, Jim Ross the Thursday before that. Available at pwtorchlivecast.com or on iTunes or podcast apps. All right. Thanks, Scott. I appreciate it. Joking plug aside, and I mean, obviously I want people to listen to it too, so I'm serious in mentioning it. It is still available, and I really liked it. I thought Jim Ross a week and a half ago was as upbeat and energetic as I've ever heard him, and other people had commented about that. And Mick is just tremendous. I thought he had such good insight on the current scene. It was interesting hearing about Dewey, his son, as an assistant writer in WWE. He had some very specific things that he wants to do for WWE that he talked about. And he had some good advice for Bray Wyatt. He talked about his current relationship with Vince McMahon. He talked about stunt bumps and wear and tear on wrestlers. Not that Mick hasn't been sharp before, because I thought the last time he was on the show last year, I think it was August, if I remember right, he was tremendous, too. I mean, those are two of my favorite interviews over the last year, are the two with Mick. And he was real generous with his time. And, I mean, and we talked old times, too. You know, I did Torch Talks with him back in 1990, and he was talking about how he was reading one from the old Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter recently, and it brought back some memories, and he talked about that. It was a fun interview. Mick and I go back over 25 years, and it was super enjoyable. Oh, by the way, the link to that, not only last week's Mick Foley interview, but the previous one from last year, That is on pwtorchlivecast.com. It's going to be hard to find in the archives. You're going to have to click through a lot of page through tons and tons of pages if you try to find it manually. But if you go to pwtorchlivecast.com, you can hear the last interview I did with Mick that went an hour and a half, and it was really, really, really good also. So if you already heard last week's interview, I encourage you. It's a mobile-friendly site. Just go to pwtorchlivecast.com, and you can stream it right from that page. It's in the best of section that we have set up on that page. Anyway, Scott, I didn't mean to go on that long, but I'm glad you brought him up, and I was going to one way or the other try to mention Mick and Jim again anyway, because I am proud of those interviews too. So thanks for bringing them up. But what else have you got for us?
Okay, guys, my favorite moment on last night's Raw was Sami Zayn coming out, guys, mm-hmm. and I want to know what direction you think they're going. Wade, you brought it up last summer, maybe last summer, saying that should be the way Sami Zayn comes back, and it's just, there's so much symmetry with everything. There's the connection with all they've done in their careers. Are they going to go one-on-one at Mania, or are we looking at like a six-way ladder match with all like, you know, for the IC title, just to get a pop that really has, you know, it's not going to move anyone forward. What do you guys think?
Jason, what I'm hearing, and I'm curious what you're hearing, is multi-person match, not one-on-one.
I'm hoping it's one-on-one. I haven't heard anything definitive on that. I mean, they made Neville look very good last night, but they also made Neville look very good the last time he had a match with Seth Rollins, and nothing really came of it. You know, they definitely like to do their big Money in the Bank style match. I'm hoping that will be for the U.S. title rather than the Intercontinental title. But, I mean, they're kind of doing this thing where Owens is searching for an opponent, and I don't know if that search stops now that Sammy has shown up, or if they continue with this whole KO Mania thing, and they really do add a bunch of people to that mix.
I want to see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn one-on-one. I don't have a lot of confidence we're going to see it based on what I'm hearing. However, I have some hope because Ryback basically kind of inserted himself into what I think will be a multi-person U.S. title match by doing that promo on Raw about Kalisto and he's a little guy and that kind of thing. But I'm expecting that we'll see multiple people, a multiple-person U.S. title match. I could imagine that also being on the kickoff show and not the main show. And I could also see Sin Cara being part of that match since Ryback kind of planted the seed of, hey, Kalisto, you should turn on Sin Cara and be your own guy. And not that I want to see them break up. I don't care that much either way, to be honest. But I don't think Sin Cara is a heel against Kalisto's a great career advancing match for Kalisto. I'll put it that way. But I think the U.S. title match is more likely to be a multi person match. But I am worried that we're not going to get Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn one on one. But I'm hoping so.
And you know, hey, if we don't get it at Mania, obviously we'll get it at some point. I'd like to see it on the big stage, too. But if they don't do it here, I assume you see it shortly thereafter.
And if you don't watch SmackDown, tune in Thursday. If you don't normally watch, we should be watching because of Mauro Ranallo anyway and his commentary and what he brings to the product. But Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens talking about their feud and cutting a promo, I think, is worth tuning in for, at least fast-forwarding to.
Yeah, hopefully it's those two talking and it's not Miz doing a lot of shtick. I enjoy Miz's shtick, but I'm hopeful that this isn't just, we'll let Miz carry this thing for these guys. Because if they're going to do anything at Mania, they really need to sell the history to everyone else. You know, there's a lot of listeners who know them from Ring of Honor and certainly from NXT, but there's a lot of casual fans out there that just know Sammy from when he showed up and blew out his shoulder against John Cena.
Scott, anything else for us?
Last thing, guys, I really was also encouraged by one other thing at the end of Raw, and that was with Bray Wyatt, like, looking that he had interest in the world title.
Yep.
Guys, I do think, truly, he can be someone that you push on that main stage, but he has to get some quality wins under his belt. Do you think there's any way he could beat Brock on Saturday night with the help of the rest of the Wyatt family, and then to help propel him into the world title picture, and to also get a lot of heat on the Wyatts? And I just was wondering if that's possible. And, guys, I'll be listening. Keep up the great work, and I always enjoy listening to the show.
Thanks, Scott. We always enjoy your calls, too. Appreciate your VIP membership. Jason, if Brock Lesnar loses only because the Wyatt family gang up on him, I don't know that Bray gets propelled in any way. I think for Bray to get propelled, he has to look like he can outsmart Brock and be, I don't know, he's got to look like he belongs in the ring with Brock. And from a size standpoint, I think he'll match up well. It's not going to be a big size difference. I think Braun Strowman and Rowan and Harper are so tall, it makes Bray seem small. But Bray is above 6 feet tall. Not, I think close to Brock's height. So I think size-wise, people will be pleased by that matchup. But I think for Bray to really get over, he's got to be competitive with Brock and not just win because three other guys help him win. What do you see coming out of Saturday night's match?
It's one to watch if you do think there's a chance that the Mania card gets reshuffled. If they go with a triple threat and then Brock needs a dance partner, because this was certainly a rumored match at one time for Mania, and I'm happy they didn't go with it. I think it's going to be Brock smashes. I really think that it's they don't have. I don't see any plan for Bray. It's not the first time he's teased doing a little something with. I think it was Vince McMahon and Stephanie, and nothing came of it. Him touching the title belt made for a nice moment. I seeing is believing on whether that leads to anything. I just think they wanted to get a reaction from people. And they just haven't positioned his match with Brock in a way that makes me feel like they have big plans for him. His promos are kind of, he's been the only one to talk. They didn't even bring Paul Heyman in. And the reason I bring that up, too, is also because, again, if you think there's a chance that they could shake things up at Roadblock, well, maybe they're waiting to have Bray Wyatt and Paul Heyman tear into one another over the next 3 weeks rather than build up this match because they know there's another one coming. But, Wade, you and I just went to the house show on Friday. We watched Kane beat Bray Wyatt in the main event. I know it's a house show. I just have a hard time believing that the same guy who was pinned by Kane clean is going to beat Brock Lesnar on Saturday.
I guess my only counter to that would just be that they know who attends house shows. And it's a home the hometown crowd wants a home team to win, and Kane, you know, the lead babyface in the main event, is the hometown crowd, and they have a chance to make people go home happy. And if Bray won, then crowds go home sad, and you have less attendance the next month. I wouldn't read a lot into it, but at the same time, I understand what you're saying in that if Bray was going to be shot to the top, they actually would be less apt to do that. They'd have Bray win with interference or something and then just have Kane get a chokeslam after the match to get revenge so the fans can cheer, because they have their little techniques for doing that, even if they don't want to job somebody out. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's definitive, but I think it's somewhat indicative that if they had ideas that they're going to really, really push Bray strong and have him beat Brock and be a world title contender, they probably wouldn't have gone that far with a... But it was just... Yeah, I mean, it was a street fight and a chokeslam through a table. So, yeah, I mean, I guess obviously I have mixed feelings on that. All right, let's keep roll. Actually, before we go to another call, Jason, talk about your website and your membership.
Yeah, absolutely. On the site right now, Will Pruitt's pause review of last night's Raw. He says, Sami Zayn's debut made him sad, Shane McMahon's punches made him mad, and AJ Styles made him glad. So check that out on ProWrestling.net. All of the viewership and ratings information that we mentioned earlier is available in print form. My WWE Raw hit list is available. Details on John Cena saying he will not be wrestling at WrestleMania 32. John Cena is out.
What?
And yeah, it's official now.
Man.
It took him a while to get to this, but it is absolutely official. John Cena is out for WrestleMania. My WWE Raw hit list is also available in audio form, so if you don't have time for a full-length written report on last night's WWE Raw, the All Access Daily podcast has my Raw hit list included, along with some commentary on the WrestleMania host city and some other things today. We are doing daily All Access audio. You can enjoy our audio content, usually about anywhere from 15 to maybe 30 minutes in length. We try to keep it brief, and so if you are commuting and you can have time to listen to our audio content on the All Access side. And obviously, we're hoping that you will enjoy our audio content enough on the All Access side at blogtalkradio.com/prowrestlingdotnet that you will crave more .net audio, and that is available exclusively to .net members on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. I did 40-plus minutes on WWE Raw last night. I also had a 51-minute Q&A audio show where I answer the members' wrestling questions and have some fun non-wrestling questions at the end as well. All the major television shows reviewed in audio form. I will have an audio review of WWE Roadblock available exclusively for the members coming up on Saturday night as well. If you're interested in membership, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. You will find the sign-up area there, and once you're in there, you'll see three different pricing options. You can start for a monthly membership at $7.50 for that month, or if you want to save yourself some money, there's a six-month plan, and also you can save yourself the most amount of money by taking the annual option. That whittles at $7.50 price all the way down to an average of $5.50 per month. All the details available at Pro Wrestling Net, and if you have any questions, please hit me up on Twitter at Pro Wrestling Net.
Excellent. Let's get back to the phone calls. Got tons of people on hold. Let's go to 424 next. 424, please state your name and where you're calling from.
This is Brian from Los Angeles.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for calling. What do you got for us?
I have a question about the network. Do you see them offering an ad-supported version of it? And also, do you think that it's time to really give Dean Ambrose all this time around? Because a lot of times when the fans are cheering for a character, they don't push him. And then all of a sudden when the fans are down on the character, then that's when they decide to push him. And then it looks like the guy's not over. So do you think this is time to really just give him the ball and let him go? Those are only two questions.
Thanks, Brian. Well, the network's already ad-supported, but Hulu Plus has a thing going right now, kind of like PWTorch.com has had, and Jason, you do too, where you know there's a certain amount of content that you get for free on our websites, a lot of it, but you can remove the ads and go to an ad-free site with bonus content by being a member. WWE Network, the way it's set up, Jason, I guess could conceivably be something that you could get for free. The problem with that, yes, I think down the line you could see, who knows where the media landscape is going as far as how entertainment earns the revenue it needs to create the content that it does. But it's possible that there will be a whole array of channels that where you sit through commercials in order to watch the shows, but then they go commercial free when you pay. The problem with WWE Network in that formula is WrestleMania is live. The main reason people subscribe are the live events. And so what do you do with commercials? I guess you could literally, in the middle of matches at WrestleMania, go to commercials or exclude WrestleMania and the pay-per-views but let people get the other stuff if they watch commercials. I guess there's a formula, but I don't see it on the horizon. I think the formula they have, Jason, is what they're sticking with.
Yeah, I don't see it. It could be done. I just don't think they'd see enough. I don't think there'd be enough of a profit for them to make that happen. I just don't see advertisers lining up for something like that. I'm curious why. Are you just hesitant to order the network as is?
Well, no, I'm a network subscriber, but I see a lot of places just offering services where you can watch a few things for free.
Oh, like a Hulu with commercials?
Right. So maybe give NXT and Superstars away for free, but then in order to see Raw and SmackDown on the pay-per-views, they have to pay for the network.
Sure, that's actually
what they basically do on Hulu right now. I don't know about Superstars, but I'm pretty sure they still do with NXT and maybe both shows.
And UFC on their network, that's like WWE Network, they have, I believe they have free content. If you're not, I'm a subscriber, so maybe I have this wrong, but I think if you're not a subscriber, there's a lot of free content, but you have to become a subscriber to unlock a lot of others. And it is a good approach, Brian, using that formula to get people to download the app on their television or their, to engage with the network. Because it's like I have the Wall Street Journal on my phone, and I get alerts, the Wall Street Journal app on my phone, and I get headline alerts, and like two out of three of them I click, and they're like, you have to be a subscriber to read this. And I don't know, maybe it's one out of three. But, a certain percentage, a significant percentage, you have to be a subscriber. But I still have the app because the free stuff's good. And I want to know, I want the news alerts and I'll read the story. And if it's a pay one, I don't read it enough to be a subscriber. But it doesn't stop me from doing it. I like that there are some things that are free and I appreciate it. And so I could see with WWE Network, they could say, hey, we got this stuff is free. But then if you're clicking around and you get to something that you want to watch and it's part of the pay thing, then maybe people are more apt to then subscribe. As far as Dean Ambrose goes, Jason, I don't know that I have a lot more to add. You and I talked about it earlier in the show. There's a chance Dean will cool off before they go with him. But in a way, they are going with him. He's main eventing Roadblock. It's not a pay-per-view, but it's a world title match. It's Triple H's only world title match. He's booked against Brock Lesnar. I just don't know what else you can do short of exchanging Roman Reigns for Dean Ambrose, and while I would do that, I can't say that Dean is so over that there's this incredibly compelling case that I would go to Vince McMahon if I were on the staff and say, yeah, make this change, Vince. It'll work. I think it's better than going with Roman, but I don't see it happening.
I don't either. But then he could be on Oprah and People. He could be in People. What was that?
He's being crazy. He's being zany.
I guess. There's too much of that. That's part of the problem with the character.
Yeah.
But he, again, he's a good, strong number two.
Yeah.
And I think right now people want him to be the number one because the number one is so weak. He's... I'm with you. If it were my choice to make, yeah, I probably would have. I wouldn't be expecting a big mania. I wouldn't expect people to be super jacked about that match. Are the hardcore fans going to be more excited about it than they are Reigns and Hunter? Yes. And if WWE wants to avoid some embarrassment, they may want to consider taking that approach. But I just don't think he would set the world on fire. I think he's slotted pretty well right now. It's really the bigger issue is that they don't have that strong number one.
Yep, I agree. All right, let's go to VIP caller Craig calling from Chicago. Craig, were you there last night?
No, I wasn't, unfortunately. They kind of priced me out of live events. They cost too much now.
Okay. What have you got for us anyway? Yeah.
But I haven't talked to Jason in about 2 years. How you doing there, Jason?
Doing great, thanks.
last night on the show, I know this is a little minor, but they announced a sellout crowd of 13,000. The Allstate Arena for pro wrestling, it holds between 18 and 20,000. How can you call that a sellout crowd at 13,000 when you're coming in well over 5,000 short? Are they going to do the same thing for WrestleMania? Say, oh, we got a sellout crowd of 65,000.
Yeah, that's what they do. I mean, the way the arena's set up, they have the staging. So they're going to cut off a sizable percentage of the arena because of the stage. They can't sell obstructed view seats behind the setup. So you knock thousands of seats off. Now, if they had available seats that they didn't put for sale that were along the side of the stage, that if they had a true sellout in demand, maybe we add, you know, three more rows of seats and sell them as slightly obstructed view. Sure, but I mean, that's the way it works. I mean, they cut off 5,000 seats because of the huge stage. They don't put people behind it. Now, for WrestleMania, there's certainly some flexibility as far as that goes, but if they have a bunch of black tarps in the upper deck, Jason, there's no way they can claim they sold out. People will know, wait a second, you covered up seats that didn't sell. You certainly would have taken people's money.
I was surprised by the 13,000 because I remember I had the subtitles on, and I thought that Cole said something, and it came over 13,000, though, on the subtitles. So that did seem like small for that building, just what I remember. Not that I remember what the overall attendance is or anything, but it's like 13,000 sellout. But I didn't hear from anyone who attended the show who was pointing out all sorts of, you know, blocked seats or sections or anything like that. So I'm not sure. Maybe what you're saying is true, Wade, that, you know, they, for what they allotted, they sold those tickets and there were plenty more they could have, but... I think we would have heard from more people about that by now. Have you heard from any readers, Wade?
No, I haven't. Craig, and maybe you said it in your question and I missed it, but have they announced sellout crowds for Raw before with higher numbers?
Yeah, they've announced them for 18,000. I remember times being there and it was standing room only for Raws. Yeah, you know, so it's just kind of shocking that they would announce a sellout crowd at 13,000.
But Allstate Arena is not going to hold 18,000 people when you have, one-fourth of the lower bowl or one-fifth of the lower bowl cut off for the stage.
Yes, it will.
Is it possible they were lying before? Because it's, okay, I'm looking, capacity is 18,500. It doesn't say for what. Is it possible they gave us an inflated number the last time and now they're actually being honest and, you're remembering that inflated number?
Well, if you go on the website for the Allstate Arena, they'll tell you exactly what the capacity is for WWE events and Monday Night Raws.
Okay. All right, well, we'll look into it. I mean, it's the capacity is 18,000 for wrestling, but I don't know that it's 18,000 for Raw. That's the thing. They're cutting off some tickets. But, Craig, we'll look into it. I appreciate the call. We have over a dozen people on hold, so we're going to keep rolling here in our remaining minutes. Let's go next to – and thanks for your VIP membership, Craig, too. Good to hear from you. Let's go to 580 next. 580, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Chris from Oklahoma.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for calling. What do you got for us?
Hey, I was wondering, last night when watching Raw and watching Shane McMahon do this promo, how much of that was shoot and who is it geared toward? Because it seemed like he was shooting on people not being pushed in the back, and it just seemed kind of an odd way to push his new gimmick, you know.
And who are you talking about? Somehow I missed the main...
Shane.
Oh, so...
Shane O'Mac.
And you thought it was strange because he was sending messages...
Because he was... Yeah, it was like you saying that people weren't being pushed, and pushed should be pushed, and people who shouldn't be pushed are being pushed.
Well,
this seems kind of odd.
It is odd. I don't like that within the narrative. I like specifics, Jason, where you can say, hey, I don't like what they did to Daniel Bryan. They pick their favorites, and if someone's willing to play the game the way they want it played, they roll out the red carpet, and if they don't comply to everything that the authority want, they find a way to not give them title opportunities or screw them out. Like, I like specifics. I don't like the general, they don't give guys an opportunity, because when you look at the record of a lot of the guys, let me when I think it can be interpreted as they're jobbing people out who should be higher on the show. And so I don't like it when it seems like an insider reference, like Dolph Ziggler shouldn't be jobbing out. He should be being pushed. Like that stuff, I just think that's Bush League, play to the internet crap that is so small picture and not big picture. But I don't mind the specifics of pointing out the authority are heels and they don't create an even playing field. They tip the scales towards their favorites. I think that's fine. So if you can blend the two successfully, that's fine. But really, all I care about is the storyline narrative being accentuated. And I don't know, how do you think Shane did in that regard, Jason?
I think it was that dog whistle you always talk about. I think that was meant for the anti-Reigns crowd, because I was struggling to think of, well, who else would it be? And we can all point to our, you know, favorite undercard guy who's being misused or whatever, but that's what I took it at. If ever there was a spot for JoJo to confront Shane backstage and stick a mic in his hand and ask him who he was referring to, that was it.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea that if guys are losing a lot of matches, that they and nobody else complains about not getting the proper opportunity. Like, you know, if Dolph Ziggler's like, I deserve better around here. Well, you lose all the time. You know, like, and he didn't lose last night, but you know what I mean, just in a general sense. I don't like when wrestlers lose all the time, and then the storyline on TV is, oh, they deserve better. It's like, no, they deserve better right. If they win their matches. That's the narrative structure of the show, is if you win your matches, you get pushed. When you start talking about, but they shouldn't be losing their matches, that's my point, Wade, they should be getting more of a push. Well, right, but you can't talk about that on the air, because then it takes away the idea that the wrestlers are out there fighting to win and lose on their own. That, within the context of that, within the opening and closing credits of the show, should be the only thing that's talked about. Not, well, someone else is deciding this and different decisions should be made. That should never be brought up on a wrestling show. There's ways to dog whistle it and not have it ruin the construct of the show. All right, thanks, Chris. Let's go to 803 next. 803, state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, it's Big Earl from South Carolina.
Hey, Big Earl, thanks for calling. What do we got for Jason and me?
Oh, just a couple quick things. First, what do you guys think the odds are that there's interference in the Undertaker-Shane match, specifically from maybe somebody like John Cena that would maybe cost Undertaker the match to set up for next year or something along those lines? And then second question is, do you feel like maybe the whole authority, you know, versus Shane is maybe misused, and would that have been better used for in the Roman Reigns versus Triple H match?
How would you have done that in Reigns Triple H? Have Shane get involved?
Not necessarily Shane get involved. I mean, more of the authority being overthrown. You know, not bring Shane in at all versus Undertaker, but say, you know, if Roman wins somehow, the authority is booted out, and maybe that would help get Reigns over more.
And what was your first point on your first question on Shane again? I want to be sure we hit both.
Will Cena interfere in the match to set up Undertaker versus Cena next year?
Yeah, Jason, I think it's possible that what happens is Cena's not wrestling on the show, but he helps Shane win. Maybe a parade of wrestlers help Shane win in order to get the desired result they want out of the match, which is Shane taking control for X amount of time, but Undertaker has an excuse for losing, and if Cena is leading the charge, Cena can go, well, I did what I had to do to get rid of the authority. I hope Undertaker understands. He has to take one for the team. And Undertaker says, no, I don't understand. I want a match. I wouldn't rule that out at all. As for the authority storyline with Reigns and Power, yeah, but they needed an opponent for Undertaker, and they didn't have any options that they felt were viable, and Shane was this wild card that they could use, and they decided to play the wild card with Shane. And once they did it, there had to be some reason it happened. And so they, in a kind of a clunky, illogical way, you know, built up and established that as the match. Jason?
I think you could see John Cena, Steve Austin, Vince McMahon. I mean, all sorts of people interfering in the Hell in a Cell match, which is kind of sad because it's a Hell in a Cell match. But, yeah, I think you will see that. The Cena setup makes sense. I mean, that's the match they wanted to go with at Mania. So, Wade, possible they basically what we see at Mania, if Cena gets involved, is a setup for SummerSlam even.
SummerSlam what?
It's Cena and Undertaker.
Oh, yeah, although I really think they want to save that for 33.
Well, no, they absolutely may, but does Taker want to stick around that long? And if he does, great, but if not, then,
okay.
You know, hey.
True. Yeah, yeah, if Taker thought, okay, yeah, like, yeah. If Taker's thinking along the lines of, I want Cena and then I'm done, and he's like, oh, God, now I got to stay in shape, and I can't just sit on the couch and eat potato chips, and I got to wait till, you know, mid-2017 to not worry about, you know, being in ring shape, that's a long time off. I don't want to do it. Let's get this out of the way sooner. Yeah, then I could see that possibly happening. Okay, anything else on what Earl brought up?
I think we covered. I don't remember the...
He just asked about the Reigns match being about the Authority, and then also.
But, WrestleMania is about the Authority. Reigns and Hunter, Shane is in this thing. They hijacked the Rumble. They've taken over WrestleMania. This is McMahon Mania.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to our next call. 718. Thanks for holding. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Mike from Brooklyn. How you doing, Wayne? How you doing, Jason?
Doing good, Mike. Good
Very
to hear
good.
From you. What have you got for us?
A couple things. First thing, do you think, you know, with the program that we perhaps is going to see at WrestleMania with New Day and with the League of Nations, that this is going to be like the full-fledged babyface turn for New Day? And the second thing I got, like, looking at the whole UFC thing from the press conference and everything, all the hype over the weekend, do you think, like, they kind of, like, out WWE, you know, WWE, and should, like, you know, some of the high-profile matches like WWE, do you think they should start in certain, like, press conferences, like, to try to make it look, you know, at least a little bit legit or real?
Sure, yeah.
That's all I have. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Good to hear from you, as always. Yeah, I like press conferences, Jason, but the fact is what WWE does, there's certain things that they can do and they're not doing that would add to the big event feel. But there's certain things about USC right now when you're talking about the women's title, Ronda Rousey's former title, and all the hype with Holly Holm beating her, and especially Conor McGregor, and two trash talkers like Conor and Nate Diaz. It's hard to say WWE has, you know, it's hard to criticize WWE in light of that. That's just a perfect situation for USC in terms of media hype. But yeah, I mean, I like press conferences, but the thing is the tone of WWE's product is such where it's hard to shift into wrestlers just taking it seriously like a sport, because WWE doesn't present their product that way otherwise. It's just not Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn's thing, or Triple H's for that matter. Triple H isn't a big sports fan. So I think it's more about a tone of the entire promotion that's hurting them, not specifically not doing certain things for WrestleMania weekend.
Right, yeah. I mean, they'll do press conferences. They always do. It's just, do they televise them on the network? And no, so far they haven't. But I know, like, I don't think they did it last year, but they were doing, like, a day-of-the-show press conference, and I think they finally figured out, like, it's too much. And I know with the media that was covering it, it was like, it's so close to showtime, we can't even get any traction out of this. You know, it's like, yeah. You might as well just post it on Twitter. I like press conferences. I like that it makes it feel sports-like, but you're right, Wade. They don't have a sports-like product, by and large. And so they've done them, and they haven't done a good job with them. I remember, for instance, the Wyatt family sitting at the post-show press conference, and it just felt so awkward and weird.
Yeah.
I think there's certain guys that you leave out of those situations.
Yes. All right, let's keep... let's go to Mike's second question about New Day and League of Nations. Could that be a full-fledged turn if they go with those three, if they go 3-on-3 at Mania?
Yeah, well, they sure do have a lot of merchandise for New Day being supposed, you know, heels. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it is. I think it's time. I mean, they're lining up the Dudleys now as heels, and then who knows who they'll call up from NXT. I think League of Nations, I mean, that they don't have anything else going for them, so maybe they can get a little run with those guys as babyfaces, feuding with the various members of League of Nations. By the way, any idea where the heck Del Rio has been? He missed our house show, all the weekend house shows, and then just Stephanie, out of the goodness of her heart, made it a 3-on-1 match rather than a 4-on-1 last night because Del Rio was nowhere to be found?
No, I'm assuming there's some news there that we just haven't heard yet.
Right,
and it's possible
he
might have had a wedding to go to and he actually got time off. Gasp. But no, I haven't heard, but I assume there's something there. What's that, Jason?
Oh, I just said minor injury. Who knows? You know,
yeah.
It's hard to say.
We did have somebody email and just mention that Sami Zayn does have a match on the NXT TakeOver special Saturday night that could affect whether they go with Owens Sami 1-on-1 at Mania.
Right.
Curious timing bringing Sami in a month ahead of Mania when he's on the TakeOver show. You know, do you want to give TV time and get people excited about Sami Zayn leading up to WrestleMania card without him? You know, is it better to invest time elsewhere? And secondly, Jason, actually, this is an interesting topic. They didn't mention the NXT TakeOver special when they talked about all the cool things coming up on the network this month. I wonder how, quote, this month, over the next month. I wonder how Triple H felt about that and the whole NXT crew.
Yeah, I'm wondering, have they really gotten into TakeOver Dallas hype yet on the NXT television show? I mean, I guess regardless, they should be mentioning it. Everyone knows it's happening. The damn thing is sold out, I assume.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, with Sami, they, you know, the NXT show is on a Friday. He could easily work Sunday too. Everything that's done for, you know, everything's in the can for NXT. So you can still build up his match for that show. Still have him do everything on television. But I don't know why they left that out. That is such a huge perk. And if Triple H isn't happy about it, I would hope he's just rolling his eyes and kind of at his father-in-law, because it's really petty and silly that you don't include what may be the best show of that weekend of anyone, of any promotion, WrestleMania included.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's odd. I'm curious. It just doesn't make sense if you're selling tickets for it and people know it's happening to not mention it in that context. So, I don't know if it's political or an oversight or if there's some strategy. I can't imagine that makes sense, but I can't come up with one. All right, let's go next to, it's showing up as 1-1-1, so it could be Skype International or Block Call. If you heard a beep, this is you. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah, Justin here from the UK.
Excellent. Great, Justin. Good to hear from you. What have you got for Jason and me today?
I've just got a couple of things, really. One of them was, you've sort of addressed, really, with Kevin Owens. I was thinking more along the lines of how well Neville did, and obviously being a Brit as well, whether he would get the match against Owens for the IC title at Mania. My second point was regarding The Rock and Austin. Obviously, they're both going to be at WrestleMania. Whether they're going to tell us a little bit more about what they're going to be involved in. I wonder what you guys thought on that.
Good topic. And Jason, the Rock little phone video just didn't do a lot for me.
No.
I don't know that Rock doing some derivative shtick that he did 15 or so years ago as this mega... It just doesn't feel the same. You know, as a mega movie star doing that, it felt phoned in. Literally, you know, I mean, it literally was, but it kind of felt phoned in. Like, I'm at the gym, and yeah, I'll take a minute between sets to do something. And I just don't know that. I think Rock should. I don't know. I don't have a good answer.
It makes him feel bigger than WWE.
Yeah, like, but like the shtick part, it's like, do you want Rock to show up and be a movie star and not do the stuff? I guess not. But to me, like, in that context, just being so... I guess it just... He seems, like, really happy with himself when he's doing this. And it seems like there's just a little bit... he's a little too happy with himself, I guess. And it sounds like... Well, it's not that I want him to be miserable. I mean, that's, like, not at all what I mean. But I want him to not seem like he thinks he's just all that. And there's something about his smile and his demeanor and his just kind of flippant way that he just riffs off some lines that it just... I don't know. I like when Rock has something to say that's relevant to the product, and I'd rather have him say something relevant to the product than I'll be there and let me do some jokes about something off camera. It just didn't do a lot for me.
See, I took it more as WWE was foolish for airing this on television. This was like an online thing, and basically to sell the fact that you can get the network for free if you are a first-time subscriber for WrestleMania, and they should have left it there. because by putting that on there, they send the message that, oh, look, Rock was kind enough to take a minute out of his busy schedule for us. It made them look small.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. I agree with that, too. Austin and Rock, I just don't have a lot of solid speculation, Jason, about how they could use them. I think if it was going to be significant, if there was an opportunity that seemed significant, I would be thinking about it. And I don't think Rock and Austin are going to come out and try to cost Undertaker his match to help the Authority get ousted. It doesn't seem like Austin and Rock have a dog in that fight in a big way at this moment. They're not pro-Authority, but I don't see them just, you know, coming to WrestleMania to interfere on behalf of Shane. So, yeah, I don't have a great idea for how to utilize them if it's not going to be a major angle, you know, where Rock ends up. You know, if it's not going to be Rock teaming with Roman or Rock versus Roman, then it's just he's just garnish.
If on the off chance that there's like a turn with Roman, then him spearing Rock would be a big deal at the end of the show. Like Rock comes out to try to, you know, what's going on with you? Any attacks the Rock? Okay,
right.
That's big. Austin, I think there is a connection with the Shane match, obviously because of Vince. I mean, it's awkward that he would try to take out Taker, but I think that is possible. I know .NET reader Darius emailed me today, and he listened to Steve Austin's podcast, and I guess Austin said at the beginning that he is doing cardio getting ready for WrestleMania, so making it seem like there must be something physical. I don't think he's going to be doing cardio just to come out there and cut a promo.
I could see Austin doing cardio because he wants to look fit.
Well, I assume he does cardio all the time, you know?
Yeah. So that's interesting. I mean, yeah, we'll see. I don't have anything more specific in mind. Jim Ross, a couple weeks ago on the live cast, just said, you know, WWE should present him with a number of options and show respect for Steve that, you know, here's some ideas. Here's kind of what we're leaning towards, but here's a couple other ideas and let Steve pick among them. But if they have something very, very specific that they think works and they want Steve to do it, and it's not, you know, just totally against the grain of what would fit Steve's persona and professional image, then, and it's a good idea, then I think Steve would go along with that too. But yeah, I don't have any specifics, but that's intriguing that he said he's doing cardio. So we will see. All right, let's go to Romeo from New York City, VIP member on hold. Romeo, thanks for holding. Please state or confirm this is you.
Hey guys. Next week, Raw, Undertaker and Shane McMahon are both advertised. I was wondering, how do you think the crowd will be split as far as reaction for both of them?
Ah, yeah, good question. Is Undertaker going to get booed if fans think he's representing the Authority, or does kind of choking Vince like he did eliminate that? It's the whole thing's awkward. I mean, I don't want to go on a rant about it. It's not really rant-worthy, but it just doesn't make a lot of sense, and I'm not quite sure how they can do it. Jim Morrison's liver on Twitter just said, I hope Steve Austin turns on Undertaker because he never did his podcast like he said he would.
Good question. I guess I haven't thought much of it because I think both guys will probably get favorable reactions to start, and then it's however they want to steer them. I think the crowd, will, you know, I don't think they're going to try to turn the crowd against Shane. They may try to turn the crowd against Taker a little bit, but they may just kind of be content with both guys getting whatever reaction they have. I mean, because of what we saw with Taker and Vince last time.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of the key. I don't think they're going to boo Taker when the gong hits, as you saw last night. They were excited that he was in Chicago unadvertised until he wasn't when Vince came out instead. So if that's a good barometer, and it's not really fair because he wasn't advertised, but I do think that both guys get mega reactions when they come out, and then it just, yeah, however they want to steer it from there, and we'll see if the crowd plays along.
Absolutely. If you're not a VIP member for PW Torch, you can become one. Just get details at pwtorch.com/goVIP. Over 28 years of archives of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter, over 1,400 back issues. Read the newsletters as you watch WWE Network content or old DVDs and find out what was happening behind the scenes, what I thought of every pay-per-view match since the late 1980s, roundtable reviews from the Torch staff, including Bruce Mitchell's reviews going back to 1990, and more. Back issues are available in PDF format and all-text format, in some cases both for many of the issues or one or the other for others. And you get ad-free access to our VIP website, which is now mobile-friendly, so you can go ad-free on your mobile phone and access not just everything that people who visit pwtorch.com get with ads, but you get all that content without ads, plus exclusive content, including my TV reports on Raw and Impact, exclusive columns from Bruce Mitchell and Greg Parks, my cover story, my end notes, roundtable reviews on pay-per-views, and more. That's all the written stuff, plus around 100 VIP exclusive audio shows, including ad-free episodes of this show, the PW Torch Livecast. This plug and all the ads and plugs are edited out, or we try to edit them all out, so every once in a while one slips by us that we don't edit out, but we edit out the vast majority of plugs from the live cast, and also the every single day Wade Keller hotline, running down the news, answering VIP member questions in more of a long form format than this, long form programs with Bruce Mitchell and Todd Martin that I host, along with the VIP after show with Jason Powell, and many other specialty shows, along with 10 years ago VIP audio shows. Almost every single day, one or two 10 years ago VIP audio shows are posted, including roundtable reviews from 2006 Royal Rumble, and we're marching our way towards WrestleMania 22. And you can follow along on what I was saying about everything going on in the world of wrestling, along with the whole Torch staff, on a 10-year anniversary basis. And it is all compatible with iTunes and podcast apps, even though it's a password-protected audio format. When you become a VIP member, we tell you how to get past that with your password. And so much more. Tons of details. Just go check it out. Full list of details and perks and benefits at pwtorch.com/govip. For $27.50, you can get 3 months, or you can go for a full year at $99, or just dive in for a month-by-month plan for just $10 per month. That's pwtorch.com/govip. You can follow me on Twitter at TheWadeKeller and follow our brand at PWTorch. Jason, while we're thinking of it, go ahead and mention your Twitter, too, in case people are following us frenetically right now trying to get caught up.
Yeah, absolutely. Follow me at Pro Wrestling Net, at Pro Wrestling Net.
Excellent. We're going to end the free portion of the show on that note. If you are on hold and we didn't get to your call and you're a VIP member, drop us an email, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com, and we'll try to tackle your topic in the VIP after show. Otherwise, tomorrow, Pat McNeil has Disco Inferno, Glenn Gilberti, along with Jim Valley from Saturday Morning Wrestling on tomorrow's livecast Wednesday, and then Thursday I'll be by with Interview Thursday, and then Friday Bruce Mitchell and Travis Bryant will be hosting at 7 Eastern, our only evening show of the week. Actually, I shouldn't say that. You have the post-Raw show also. If you want more thoughts and interaction, if you want to listen in on it from last night's post-Raw show, Greg Parks joined James Caldwell for, I kept having Jim on my mind because of Jim Valley. James Caldwell and Greg Parks did a long post-Raw show, so you can dive into that on the livecast feed. It's the show preceding this one. Live callers and a couple other perspectives from the Torch staff there. And then Saturday mornings, the new Saturday Morning Wrestling livecast with Jim Valley talking nostalgia. And he's got some good guests lined up. And you can find out all about Jim's show by joining him on Saturday live at 11:30 Eastern and 8:30 Pacific time. And when you do that, you are also invited to call and join in. Rhonda Shear from Up All Night from the 1990s on USA Network is his guest on March 26th, this Saturday. Co-author of Mad Dogs, Midgets, and Screwjobs, he's going to have one of the co-authors of that book, Bertrand Hébert, on his program talking about the history of Montreal wrestling. And man, is that fascinating. Some big names went through that territory, that city, and you want to join in. It's getting a PhD in professional wrestling history every Saturday morning with Jim Valley. That will do it for me for today. Jason, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you on the other side of the music for the VIP After Show.
Hey, thank you, Wade.
Absolutely. Thanks, listeners. And until next time, Wade Keller on behalf of Jason Powell, signing off. This is